Well, I have a lot of great memories from the year 2004. I'll date myself. It was the year I graduated from college, so there were parties and ceremonies and final papers and career plans, all fairly common things. But I also remember this one fairly odd thing about that year. 2004, where I lived, was the year of the cicadas. All of you know what I'm talking about. The cicadas are those large, brown-winged bugs that live underground, and they only emerge every 13 to 17 years to molt. And that year, while I was living in Jackson, Mississippi, the cicadas of Brood X, this was what they were titled, came up from the ground, and they took over every tree and every rock and every plant stem that there was to be found. Now, this particular group of cicadas had been buried for 17 years, all just waiting for this moment to emerge in packs of hundreds of thousands. And I can see some of you sort of starting to crawl and creep a little bit and squirm. And so when you drove past any patch of woods that year, there was this almost deafening sound of all of those bugs and of their wings. And when all was said and done, each cicada left behind their very own transparent brown-colored shell, and they were stuck to every tree trunk and every stick and every flower that was in the area. Many of you have seen those shells. I think they have cicadas up here, not just in the South. And those shells are the exact replica of the bug, but without any of the actual being, without any of the life left inside. They're a reminder to us that something was once there but now has moved on. A reminder that out of this dead, dried-up thing came new life. There's a lot of focus on the tomb that first Easter morning. Each person that peeked in or raced up had a different reaction to what they saw. Some were in awe, some were in wonder, others were in fear and bewilderment. And still today, we seem to focus on the tomb quite a bit. But in reality, the tomb isn't what Easter morning is all about. The tomb is that empty shell that's been left behind, that shell that bears the witness to what happened. The tomb is a reminder that Christ, who was dead, is now alive. And that changes everything. This morning's message is not a message about tombs or even about death. It's a message about new life. And it's one that we all need to hear. I want to say more about that message in just a moment and explain why I think that Easter is so important to us. But first, I need you to just hang with me for a minute. Because before I preach more about Easter, I want to talk for just a moment about zombies. Now, forgive me. When I floated this idea of talking about zombies on Easter Sunday with the other clergy and the staff gathered around the circle table in the office this week, I got a couple of interesting looks, a few smirks, some uncomfortable giggles, like I just heard, and a couple of no's. In fact, our office manager, Beth, who really is the one that keeps us all on the straight and narrow in this place, she's the one that keeps us all going in that good direction. She said, "Nicole, that's fine if you want to talk about zombies on Easter. I simply will not answer the phone in the church office the next morning." So the office is closed tomorrow. It really is. And I promise I'm going somewhere with this. You see, for at least the past 5 years, probably longer, our society has had this rather telling obsession with the walking dead. There are zombie parades in major cities. There are zombie comic books and t-shirts and movies. And of course, there's that all-important, wildly popular TV show, The Walking Dead, which first aired in 2010 on Halloween night of all nights. And it tells the story of this community of human beings sticking together and trying to survive in this apocalyptic-like, zombie-ridden America. Now, this year, the show started its fifth season, and the opening episode recorded 17.3 million viewers for one episode. So why is this important? And what does this have to do with Easter morning? Well, the most obvious thing is that zombies capture our attention in some way. There is something about these stories of the undead, of the mindless, of those who are shells of human beings, of those who are used to be fully living but now are only half living, of those who can't think or feel for themselves. There's something about them that captures our attention, that's intriguing to us. And I'm wondering this morning if our heightened interest in those who are half alive has something to do with the fact that we all know people who are living like the walking dead, day in and day out. And if you want to take this to a more personal level, how many of us here this morning feel like we're only half alive? How many of us live numb and mindlessly? How many of us just lumber through life? We know the walking dead because we have been them. And we've seen them in our neighborhoods and in our jobs and our families and our friend groups. We know those who are simply just going through the motions of life. We know people stuck in jobs that are sucking the life out of them. We know people that are paralyzed by fear of getting cancer, fear of getting hurt, fear of stepping out in faith, fear of ISIS or terrorism, fear of losing a job, and of course, fear of death. Too often we get stuck living as if we were half dead because we're either so worn down by the world and its weights or because we're too afraid to truly live. Well, I want to say that fortunately for all of us, it is Easter morning and there is good news. There is good news for those of us who feel like the walking dead. And there's good news for us to share with those that we know in our lives that are only half alive. Because today we celebrate the one who defied death and in doing so invites us to fully live. One of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, is known for saying, "The resurrection isn't a conclusion. It's actually an invitation." And what she means is that the resurrection is not that final exclamation point on Jesus' story, which we so often think it is. It's actually the dot, 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 which begs for the story to continue. And here's the kicker, here's the key, is that this story is meant to continue in our lives. The resurrection invites us to begin to fully live, living as if we were alive in God, living in the newness of life that Romans chapter 6 talks about. This story is not simply about a tomb found empty. It's not just a message that's meant to be saved for our funerals or our memorial services. It's a message that is supposed to make a difference in our lives here and now, today, while we're on this earth. And it's most certainly a message for all of us who are living as if we are half dead. You see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, it proved that God would have the final say in this world, the final say on injustice, the final say on sin, the final say on our many fears, and of course, the final say on death. And now we have been invited into that story. A story that at its core believes that what seems impossible is actually possible. We are a people that believe the impossible is possible because we have seen it be so in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The impossible was shown to be possible, and that makes all the difference. So I want to say that today, if you feel like the walking dead, if you feel numb or bound up or like you're just going through the motions, remember that this morning is for you. Christ has risen, and whatever seems impossible in your life can be overcome as well. So stop living as if you're half dead and get busy being fully alive. Friends, this is the invitation. This is the good news of Easter morning, which is extended to all of us today and tomorrow and forevermore. Amen.